Good morning and welcome to Dr. Amy's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together by setting the intention with Naturally 7 and let it be.
Lord, I pray for this day we've come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you.
As always, I applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes out of your busy Sunday to just let it be, to honor your commitment to coming into our sacred community to deepen in our connection and communion with the ground of being, God in us, as us, the creator and sustainer of all that is. It's not enough to say we believe God, we know God, we trust God, but we have to consciously align ourselves with the presence that is everywhere present at every point in space and time. I keep re-emphasizing this truth, this fact, because I know that in moments of calamities or distress, we sometimes feel that we are somehow absent or separated from the divine. But that can never be. We live, move, and have our being in the divine omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence. That is God. By whatever name you choose to call him, her, it. Our divine beloved is right where we are. And today's theme for our Sunday soul is aging to staging. It is a theme that I have been waiting on the appropriate time to deliver. And a while back, having a conversation with one of our Sunday soulers in Costa Rica, and we were talking about aging, and I can't remember what I said, but in the end of whatever the conversation was, she sent me the song that I'm going to close with today, a great reminder that age is irrelevant. And I love the quote that I shared with you yesterday by Jules Renard, who said it's not a question of how old you are, but a question of how you are old. And we're living in times where the respected elder, the aged person, can sometimes seem as if we're looked down upon. Kind of pre-industrial revolution, we were respected. We served as the political leaders, the judges, the guardians of traditions. We were the ones that taught the young. We were the council chiefs. We prepared the rites of passages for our youngsters and continued the tribal traditions. We were the visionaries, the seers. We were the conduits for the divine realm. And between the divine realm and the mundane and this earthly world, we were the ones that people looked to and revered. We were the ones who people respected. But things changed after the Industrial Revolution. Our roles became less significant. Our powers passed down to the younger generation, from father to son, who valued kind of the new technology rather than the old ways of the past. And the shift continues to change as we technologically progressed. But it kind of left the elders, the aged, without any sort of significant and meaningful roles. We lost our honored place in society. We became the victims of what is known as gerontophobia, a fear of advanced age, based on how we now disempower the elderly, the aged, and the stereotypes that we have now come to see them as somehow feeble or less than able. And we house them or warehouse them in what is now described as the new ghettos, those of nursing homes and retirement communities. And this is very prevalent in the West. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the cultures of Africa or India or China, where the aged is still respected and revered. And it's like I was reading in China, in Shanghai, which is one of the five largest cities in the world, in the late 1970s, there was only one home for the aged, as most of the family were shared, or most of the aged were shared within the family. They were looked after by the children. And you notice the difference that here in the UK especially, every town or city has multiple homes for the aged as they become too challenged to be looked after at home or whatever the need. But people so fear this process of aging that they've lost sight of the wisdom that the aged have. Our perspective has changed as we're older. We have clearer insight on how we see things, our understanding of things, our understanding of life and what's going on around. We have more time. We're more patient. I love as I'm walking, seeing the grandchildren with their grandparents. And you see the patience and the time that they have to spend with them. They're no longer caught up with the busyness of making a living, of earning a crust, or providing for the family. I think the relationship between grandparents and grandchildren are different from the relationship that the parents had with their own children as they were caught up with the busyness of surviving. One of the joys of aging is that we have freedom, freedom to be ourselves. We're no longer concerned with people's opinions or how they think we should be or what we should be about or what we should be doing or how we should be acting or how we should be dressing. We don't have to conform because it's expected of us, because we need that job, we need to have that good opinion, we need whatever it is. We get to see things with a new eye. We get to realize that we're not at the end of our life. Life is just a continuation. This is just a new chapter. We don't have to be concerned. Our house is most likely paid for. The children are away. We don't have to meet with college bills or university bills or any of those things. We can start to do things that we've been putting off or waiting to do till we have the time. Whereas volunteering or reading books that we'd been piling up waiting to find the right time to read or learning an instrument or going to a night class. All these things we are now able to do. And the blessings of aging is that we are appreciative of our relationships, those that we've had for a long time, and the new relationships. I still have relationships going back to when I was at school. For 50 plus years, we've been friends. We've kept in contact. We see each other. So my invitation this morning as we move from aging to saging is to embrace wherever we are on that spectrum that we call age. Because it's one of the things that is coming to all of us. Whether we want to fight it, stave it off, or try and hope that it won't reach us, it will. But I'm here to tell you that the aging process is not one to be feared, but one to be embraced. It's one to be grateful that you have reached the age, whatever it is, that you have. But for many, it has been denied. All of us here, I'm sure know people that are younger than us that have already passed away. So let us embrace the whole aging, the whole experience of growing old, and understand that we are growing old both gracefully and gratefully. Gracefully because we know it is God that is in us, that is giving us the health and strength, and gratefully because we are blessed when many are others who are not alive to enjoy all the things that we are enjoying. And so my sacred text this morning, I want to share several with you because it is obviously one that the writers of the Bible felt greatly and strongly about. The Psalm says in 16:31, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. I know when you first see the first signs of gray hair, for me, it wasn't on my head, it was in my nose. That was the most shocking thing of seeing a gray hair in my nostril. And the first thing I wanted to do was to destroy and pluck it out. But it's understanding it's part of the process. And these gray hairs are always stronger than the black hairs, which reminds me that they are It's a reminder that as we age, we're not getting weaker, but we're getting stronger. Psalm 71:9 says, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength is spent. I know there are things that we can't do that we used to do when we were younger. And that's all part of the process of change. I accept it, and I almost welcome it. Yes, I may not be able to bend down as quickly. I may not be able to bend my knees as I would like. But that's okay. There's still other things I can do. Isaiah 46:4 says, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. A reminder that the spirit, the divine, the sacred is right where we are. We're not forsaken because we are aging. He's reminding us that always, because we have the presence within us, that we are sustained, carried, and rescued by it. Psalm 92:14 says, the righteous flourish like a palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. In old age, they still produce fruit. It isn't because we are aging that we now become useless. As we are aging, it is said that even actually over 55, their workers are better. They're more reliable, they're more competent, they're more proficient. We can still contribute. Our age is irrelevant. It's not how old we are, but how we are thinking and feeling and believing about ourselves. In Ruth 4, verse 15, it says, he shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. So what if we are a little slower in our thought processes? So what if we're not moving as quickly as we used to? It's irrelevant of the age. because always we have the life force, the life source, the life presence right where we are. And my final sacred text is Job 12:12, who says, well, bearing in mind, you know, that Job was the one that suffered so much. It says, is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? It's not every aged person or elder or elderly we can consider as wise. And then older people that are more foolish than some of the younger people I've encountered. But for many and for most, aging brings with it a certain wisdom, a certain understanding of life, a certain recognition, a certain perspective, a certain awareness. We have to remember that the patriarchs of the Bible, we had Noah who lived to 950, Adam who's 930, Enoch 365. Job, as I just mentioned, suffered trial after trial, 210. Abraham lived to be 175. Both Joseph and Joshua lived to be 110. Then we have people who are living now well into their hundreds and well experiencing in their prime. So my story that I want to share are various anecdotes. Walter Altman from Brazil started working for the Renovue Textile Company at 15. Recently, the Guinness Book of Records certified him for the longest career in the same company, 84 years and 9 days. He turned 100 on April 19th and is described as being in good health with excellent mental clarity and memory. He celebrated his 100th birthday with the colleagues, family, and friends. He says the best part about having a job is that it gives you a sense of purpose, commitment, and routine. He commented, adding, he lives a calm life and does exercise every day. I had to wait 110 years to become famous. I wanted to enjoy it as long as possible, says Jean-Louis Calment, 1875 to 1997, the oldest documented living human. This French woman had all her wits about her when she reached the supercentenarian age of 110. With her jaunty smile, Calment charmed the world with her upbeat attitude towards aging and life. Too many people, when they get old, think that they have to live by the calendar, says John Clem, born 1921. As the oldest person to board the U.S. space shuttle at age 77, Senator John Clem exemplified the view that we shouldn't let age define us. The calendar is a useful way to let you know the date, but if you let yourself be hemmed in by your chronological age, you may lock yourself out of potentially valuable opportunities. How old would you be if you didn't know how old you was, says Satchel Paige, born 1906 to 1982. This baseball legend who continued his successful career well into his 60s. We are so obsessed with age, Paige implies, that we allow it to define our identity. Break out of the mindset that makes you think of your age first and your identity second. Those who think they have no time for bodily exercise will sooner or later have to find time for illness, says Edward Stanley, 1826 to 1893. Do you ever feel that you don't have enough time to work out? Do you ever get to work early and stay late in the office only to convince yourself that they're not enough hours in the day to get to the gym? Back in the mid-1800s, this British statesman advocated well ahead of his time for the importance to health of getting regular physical activity. He didn't have the data to support this argument that we now have and know the value of exercise, but his astute observation would withstand the most rigorous scientific test about the benefits of working out regularly. At age 20, we worry about what others think of us. At age 40, we don't care what they think of us. At age 60, we discover they haven't been thinking of us at all. Anne Landers, 1918 to 2002. Anne Landers reminds us that as people get older, they move away from the egocentric concerns of youth to the more realistic perceptions of midlife and older adults, who realize that they are not the center of the universe. As a result, older adults are free to do what they want, not constrained by what they construe to be the opinions of others, who themselves are only thinking about themselves. Aging is not a lost youth, but a new stage of opportunity and strength. Betty Friedman, 1921 to 2006. One of the founders of the feminist movement, Betty Friedman continued to inspire women throughout her life, writing about her experiences with aging in the Fountain of Life. In this quote, Friedman captures the concept of successful aging. Let's redefine later life as a time for growth instead of an... Let's redefine later life as a time of growth instead of inevitable decline. And the last one, grow old along with me, the best is yet to be. Robert Browning, 1812 to 1889. This is an inspiring characterization of old age, which fits the concept of successful aging, which provides the view that it is possible to enjoy your later years in a way that succeeds your expectations. All of those were supplied by Susan Krauss-Whitborn, PhD, 2012. Sophia Loren says, there is a fountain of youth to your mind, your talents, the creativity you bring to your life and the lives of people you love. When you learn to tap this source, you will truly have defeated age. I think many of us would agree. Sophia Loren, who's still alive and kicking and as glorious and gorgeous as ever, has truly defeated that. So my poem that I want to share today with you, if I can find it, is entitled My Rememberer. My forgetter's getting better, but my rememberer is broke. To you that may seem funny, but to me that is no joke. For when I'm here, I'm wondering if I really should be there. And when I try to think it through, I haven't got a prayer. Oftentimes I walk into a room, say, what am I here for? I rack my brain, but all in vain, a zero is my score. At times I put something away where it's safe, but gee, the person it's safest from is generally me. When shopping I may see someone, say hi and we have a chat. When the person walks away, I ask myself, who is that? Yes, my forgetter's getting better, while my rememberer is broke, and it's driving me plumb crazy, and that isn't any joke. I have to share that one because it's amusing, because part of the aging process is that we don't always remember. And I'm okay. I learn to take things a little bit easier and be less stressful about when I can't remember things. There are times, even when I'm doing Sunday Soul, that I'm speaking and I know the word I want to say, but it's not coming to me. But that's all part of the process, and I accept and acknowledge that. My science of mind reflection is entitled Aging Gratefully. The first quote comes from Frank Lloyd Wright. The longer I live, the more beautiful life becomes. Our second quote from Ernest Holmes, The Science of Mind. Let us learn to be still and let the truth speak through us, to be still and know that the inner light shines. The author writes, when I was young, I often felt overwhelmed by everyday challenges. What am I supposed to do? What if I mess up? How will it turn out? As I grew, I banked knowledge, accumulated it from each experience. Getting older brings wisdom, gleaned from adversity and the understanding that I get through it with experience as my teacher. I learned change is hard at first, but it gets easier as I practice. Knowing I'm safe, that everything will work out. Sometimes it works out in a way I wouldn't have expected, but somehow I knew what to do with it. Today, instead of being mired in fear, I have a deeper gratitude for life, just as it is. With age comes a greater capacity for compassion, an honoring of the lives we've lived, including those times we've stumbled. There's a caring wisdom from having been there, knowing that we're each doing the best we can in the moment. Today I feel tender-heartedness for those who can't embrace tenderness for themselves. We can all use a dose of loving-kindness. The older I get, the more I appreciate that growing up is a never-ending process. Every day offers opportunities to learn new things about myself, how I've changed, and what is important to me. With years of experiences behind me, I'm continually striving to become the person I want to be, and every day I get to practice. What a blessing to know that growth is never ending. My beloved, if you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes, to bring your attention to your breath, the gentle inhalation and exhalation, the ebbing and the flow, the contraction and the expansion. Always, I like to remind you of the words of Job, who said, "It is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life." You know that Job went through various trials and torments and lived to the ripe old age of 200 plus years. So in order to enhance and increase our life, let us truly honor the sacred gift that breathing gives us. Let us honor that it is the spirit, the life force, the presence of God that we are breathing in with each breath. Inhale. Lower the diaphragm, extend the stomach, and take in the life-giving, renewing, restorative breath of God. Hold. Simply, slowly, release. Inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly. For the third and final time, inhale. Hold. Always at this time, we like to honor our body temple, how it carries out the work without us consciously directing it, as we affirm and release both the positive and the negative emotions that are stored in each organ. So bring your attention to your heart. Take a moment to acknowledge the work that the heart does as it pumps the blood around the body. When your body fails to have that fresh blood circulating with the oxygen, when that heart stops, life ends. Inhale, affirm. This is my breath as I breathe in love. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out cruelty. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in joy. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out impatience. Place your attention on your kidneys and your lower back. Take a moment to be grateful for the work the kidneys do as it eliminates the toxic substances and waste from your body. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in gentleness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out fear. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in calmness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out stress. Bring attention to your liver on that right side under your rib cage, the largest organ in your body. That can regenerate itself, that cleans the blood, that combats the infections. Take a moment to just be grateful for it. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in kindness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anger. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in generosity. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out frustration. Bring attention to your lungs. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work that it does as it brings in the much-needed oxygen, supplies it through the bloodstream to the rest of the body. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in honesty. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out depression. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in courage. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out sadness. Bring attention to your stomach. Take a moment to acknowledge the gratitude. How your stomach stores, mixes, breaks down the food that you need to be nourished and energized with. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in fairness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anxiety. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in trust. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out worry. Take a moment, starting from the top of your head, to scan all the way down through your body. All the various systems, the skeletal, the nervous, the muscular, the respiratory, the endocrine, the immune, the circulatory, the urinary, the intergametary, the reproductive, the digestive, the cardiovascular systems, all these systems throughout your body temple that you so take for granted. Now affirm, the divine within me is wholeness. And my mind reflects this wholeness into every organ, every function, every action, every reaction of my physical being, renewing it after the perfect pattern, the Christ within me. Take a deep breath as we enter into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that's in need of prayer. Divine Beloved, grant us being source of all that is, as we consciously come into your presence this morning, acknowledging that aging is a part of life, is a part of the creative and creation story. But it is not something that we should fear or resist, but acknowledge and embrace, knowing that truly at every point, at every part of our life, you are there. From the moment we entered into the world till the moment we leave it and beyond, we are always in your presence. There is nowhere or no time or place where your presence is ever separate from us. Let us embrace the aging process and honor it. Let us recognize that it's coming to all of us no matter what age we are now. Let us respect the changes in our body, in our mental capacities, in our emotional awareness. Let us embrace all of the wonderful gifts that aging brings us: freedom, perspective, wisdom. Mother, Father, God, let us recognize as we continue to age, let us age both gracefully and gratefully, knowing that always you are with us. We at this time take a moment to remember that the divine spirit of life, that is you, Mother, Father, God, that is everywhere present, that knows what we have need of even before we have need of it, that it is to you we bring forth the needs of our world, for everything that is going on that is too much and too awful sometimes to name, to mention, to repeat. But we hold this vision of truth, that you are able to do beyond anything we can ask of. And whilst you have given each and every one of us free will to choose, to do, to be, to express, and some of us are abusing that, we bring before you now our world and all that is happening in it. Strengthen us and embolden us that we may have the courage to see a world that works for all. Strengthen and embolden us that we may hold that vision in spite of appearances, a world where justice, fairness, and equity prevail, a world where individual freedoms exist, a world where no child is hungry and no war is raging. Strengthen enough to be able to behold in our mind's eye a world that you created, where humanity is one. Where love prevails. Where peace exists. Mother, Father, God, you know the needs of each and every one here present, those that will listen later, or all your children, wherever they are. So in this time, at this moment, we surrender it all to you. And we are so grateful, grateful, grateful for your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies. We say thank you. And so it is. And so it is. Stretch your hands towards the sky, wiggle your fingers, and affirm aloud, I'm enthusiastic about life and living. Cross your hands, wrists, Put your wrist palms down over your heart and affirm, I'm loving, loved, and lovable. Bring your hands as if in prayer together in front of your lips and affirm, I speak only words that are life-giving and energizing. Drop your hands to your sides, palms open, facing outwards, affirm, I give thanks for my abundant good. Bend your elbows and make small circles with your wrists and affirm, I release all limiting and erroneous thoughts. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phones for affirmations and Buddhist reflections. Repeat after me our science of mind affirmation. Getting older.
Getting older.
Offers moments of reflection.
Offers moments of reflection.
Just look at how far I've come.
Just look at how far I've come.
Buddhist reflections. If anyone has hurt or harmed me.
If anyone has hurt or harmed me.
Knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed.
Knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness. If I have hurt or harmed anyone. Knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed.
Knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed.
I forgive the past and close the door. I forgive all and resentment is dissolved. I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace.
May my physical body provide me with strength. May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free.
May my friends be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May those that challenge me be happy.
May those that challenge me be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful. May they be free.
Our prayer of intention. I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without. Manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God within and without. Eternal and unceasingly. Our rumination for this week. Rumi says, death has nothing to do with going away. The sun sets, the moon sets, but they are not gone. June is Pride Month, so in honor of that, I'd like to share a reflection. We celebrate our sexuality as central to our humanity and as integral to our spirituality. We suffer because of the pain, brokenness, oppression, and loss of meaning that too many experience about their sexuality. We celebrate the goodness of creation, our bodies, and our sexuality. We suffer when this sacred gift is abused or exploited. We celebrate sexuality that expresses love, justice, mutuality, commitment, consent, and pleasure. We suffer because of discrimination against people because of sex, gender, color, age, bodily condition, marital status, or sexual orientation. We celebrate when we are truth-seeking, courageous, and just. We suffer because of violence against women and sexual minorities and the HIV pandemic. We celebrate the full inclusion of women and LGBTQIA+ persons in our congregation's life. And we suffer because of unsustainable population growth and overconsumption and the commercial exploitation of sexuality. We celebrate those who challenge sexual oppression and who work for sexual justice. And God rejoices when we celebrate our sexuality with holiness and integrity. So, my beloved, as we come towards the end of our Sunday soul, just to remind you, there will be our 10 at 10 on Thursday, as always. And our closing benediction, may you be blessed on the path on which you travel. May you be blessed in the body that carries you upon it. May you be blessed in your heart that has heard the call. May you be blessed in your mind that discerns the way. May you be blessed in the gift that you will receive by going. May you be truly blessed in the gift that you will become on the journey. May you go forth in peace. So my closing song, inspiration from our Costa Rican community Sunday Solar, is entitled, I'm in My Prime by the Spinners. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I trust you enjoyed that as much as I did. That's the Spinners. I'm in my prime. Beloved, I look forward to joining you on Thursday for our 10 at 10, and have a blessed and happy Sunday. Peace and blessings.